I'd like to share a message this morning entitled Just Two Ways and Just Two Destinies. I've already tried to preach this message once. Well, I was preparing to preach this message on Thursday night at our parent and staff meeting, but the Lord had other plans and I was laid up in bed all day and had to send a quick SOS to Dad. Could you please preach tonight? So this is a message that the Lord has continued laid in my heart and believed he'd have me to share that this morning instead of Thursday night for whatever reason. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, there's the outline on the back of the bulletin there if you'd like to follow through. But Matthew chapter 7 and a couple of verses we know well from that portion of the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let's pray as we look to the Lord this morning. Gracious Father, it's a great privilege to be under the sound of your word this morning. Lord, we pray that you would give us listening ears and hearts that are humble, hearts that are soft, hearts that are ready to receive the living words of God. And Lord, may your word be heard this morning. We pray that we would not go out from here the same people as we walked in, but Lord, may there be a conviction that comes to our hearts this morning, a challenge, an exhortation, an encouragement to walk in the way that you have so designed for us to walk in, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may have seen the sad account this week of an 11-year-old Italian boy who perished along with his parents when they were holidaying. They were from Turin. And on Tuesday last week, they were visiting the Solfatara volcanic crater at Pozzuoli, which is one of a number of craters that sits atop the giant magma chamber in the Phlegrean fields. But 11-year-old Lorenzo went beyond the barriers. There are barriers there where people can look around at the craters, but they are fenced off bubbling mud pools and so on. But 11-year-old Lorenzo went beyond the barrier and he fell into a 3-meter deep crevice filled with rock and mud. Then his parents tried to rescue him and they both fell in as well. And all three of them died. There's a second son who was 7 who scrambled to safety, but he was left as an orphan. But it all came down to Lorenzo went beyond the barrier. He chose a wrong path and there were some serious consequences to pay, not just for him, but for his parents. They are now all dead. See, there are just two ways to choose in life. There is the way of the fool and there is the way of the wise man. And I'm just amazed at how Sunday school prepared for the message this morning. I didn't know what was going to be taught in Sunday school this morning. And I didn't know what Proverbs reading we were up to this morning. But yet, this has really paved the way for what the Lord has to speak to us from his word this morning. There is the way of self-reliance and there is the way of God-reliance. There is a way that seems right unto a man, which is the very first verse we read in our Proverbs this morning, Proverbs 14:12. And then there is a way that is right. There's a way that seems right. And then there is a way that is right according to God's word as revealed by his Spirit. There are just two paths and they are entered through their respective gates, which is the passage we read at the beginning there in Matthew 7. There is the entrance to a narrow way is through the straight gate. In John 10:9, the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, into the way, into the narrow way, into the way of life, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The Lord also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the door. He is the way. Whereas the wide gate is the easy one. That path, or that gate, marks the path of self-reliance, the one that we naturally choose, the one that we default to, going our own way. It's the wide way that never demands the sacrifice of self as one's master. It is the way of doing whatever pleases self. It is life's easy way. So the choices that we make, as we reminded yesterday, we heard this yesterday, the choices you make determine the path that you take. Or decision determines destiny. So let's have a look at, first of all, the way of a fool. We look at the way of the fool and the way of the wise man. Look at the definition, the disposition, and the final destination. Let's first of all define the fool, the way of the fool. Webster describes it, a fool, like this. He says, one who pursues a course contrary to the dictates of wisdom. A wicked or a depraved person. Or one who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral deportment. Or one who follows his own inclinations, your own way. Who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God and eternal happiness. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The example is given. Webster's goes on to say, can define a weak Christian, one who has much remaining sin and unbelief. And this was what the Lord was speaking of in Luke 24. O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have written. Fool is full of unbelief. It's not a very becoming term, is it? Yet it is the term that God has chosen to give to those who follow a path that seems right unto a man. A path according to my own way. And I pray that it will be your prayer this morning, that we would recognize where we are being fools. The Lord has showed me areas as I've been preparing this message of where I have been a fool and where I need to make some changes and decisions that I need to make. Let's think now of the disposition of a fool, the character of a fool. What does a fool look like? How does he live? Well, this could be a series of messages in itself, couldn't it? Because there is so much that the Bible speaks of in the life of a fool. Firstly, he has convinced himself that he is right. A fool believes that he is right. The way, Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 30 verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. It's the definition of a fool. And yet is not washed from their filthiness. Proverbs 26, 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. A fool is proud. In the mouth, Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. A fool trusts his own heart. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Pretty simple statement, isn't it? You trust your own heart, you're a fool. Because it takes a fool to trust in that which God has declared to be what? deceitful, above all things, and desperately wicked. And yet the message of the world is, follow your heart. But God says, you follow your heart, and you're a fool. Fools hate knowledge, Proverbs 1:22. Proverbs 1:13 says, a foolish woman is clamorous or boisterous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Proverbs 14:16, and a lot of these proverbs contrast the wise with the foolish in the same verse, isn't it? We're looking at this in our family devotions at the moment, just looking through what characterises a fool, and we're making a list night by night to get a bit of a comprehensive list of what does a fool look like with our boys and our girl. But a lot of proverbs speak of the contrast of the wise and the fool. And Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is self-confident. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover or express itself. A fool is unreliable. Proverbs 26 verse 6 says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. A fool is cannot be relied upon to carry out instructions and tasks, ministry. Proverbs 15:20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. A fool has an uncontrolled tongue. Proverbs 10 verse 14 says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. That which is contrary to wisdom, contrary to God's word. Proverbs 29 verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Proverbs 10 verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and, this adds to it, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. A fool hides hatred with lying lips, and a fool slanders. A fool resents correction. He despises rejection, correction. Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Proverbs 17, 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Now, 100 stripes, that's a pretty severe licking, isn't it? There was a lady and a man who were given 100 stripes in Indonesia last week. The man didn't have to be hospitalised, but the lady did. She was because of adultery. But 100 stripes, pretty vicious kind of wounds are inflicted with 100 repetitive stripes. But God's word says a reproof, just a simple reproof, will enter more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A fool hates reproof. It has been said that a criticism is like a gold coin to a wise man, but not so to a fool. A fool is unteachable. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 23 verse 9 says, speak not in the ears of a fool. Why? For he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Proverbs 26 verse 11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit. We'll talk about this in devotions a couple of nights ago. Just the disgustingness of watching a dog throw up and then come and lick it up. It's pretty gross to watch, isn't it? But dogs do it. I've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it too. So a fool returneth to or repeats his folly. Proverbs 27, verse 22, though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle. That's obviously a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration here, but that's pretty kind of gruesome, isn't it? You know, grinding up a fool in a mortar with a pestle. Though you do that, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. So ingrained, entrenched is the foolishness. Proverbs 14, verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Isn't that what we see in our land today? People mocking at sin. Calling that which God calls sin, good. And calling good, sin, bad. A fool is a mischief maker. Proverbs 10, verse 23 says, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. It's like fun and games to him to be a fool, to cause problems. A fool gets angry. Now, the world just calls it a disorder. Needs a pill. God calls it sin. Proverbs 27, verse 3 says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. You know, things, when you start to carry them, you think, yeah, I can carry this. And you get a few metres and you think, oh, this is heavy. This is really heavy. I think I bit off more than I could chew. Carrying bags of sand is like that, isn't it? Carrying big, heavy rocks is like that. But a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. They're hard to bear up under the wrath of a fool. Well, that's the disposition of a fool. What about the destination of a fool? Where is a fool headed? He has chosen a certain path. Where is that path going to lead the fool? So you can choose your path, but you cannot choose your destination apart from that path. Once you have chosen your path, you have by default chosen your destination. So let's think about the end of the path, because God has said he will not be deceived. God says we are not to be deceived and that he will not be mocked. Whatever we sow, we are going to reap. Whatever path we choose, we are going to end up at the end of that path. We cannot think that we can hide or get around that principle. Proverbs 5:21 says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. All of our ways are before the eyes of the Lord. Nothing takes him by surprise, and nothing is hidden from him. He ponders all our goings. So he's got to keep asking the question, what path are we on? What decisions are we making? And upon what basis are we making those decisions? Well, think about the end. Proverbs 6:21 says, what fruit had ye then? Sorry, Romans 6:21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Okay, this is speaking to the Christians about the things that they did before, whereof ye are now ashamed. We have those things in our lives, don't we, where we think about what we did before we came to trust Christ as Savior, for those who were saved a bit later in life, and did some foolish things and were ashamed of that. And then it says, for the end of those things is death. The end of those things is death. The things that you used to commit which were a shame, the end is death. The verse we read this morning in our Proverbs reading, the first verse was Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that exact verse is repeated in Proverbs 16, just two chapters later. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But it goes on in verse 13. Proverbs 14, 12 says that, and then verse 13 says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. This is the end of the path of the fool, the way that seems right unto a man. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end is just heaviness. And the very next verse, Proverbs 14:14, says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In other words, the path that we choose is going to have an end. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Psalm 81, verse 11 and 12, has a solemn warning. These things are recorded here in God's word for our warning. It says, but my people would not hearken to my voice. What does that characterize? A fool. My people would not hearken to my voice. That's a fool. And Israel would none of me. So what happened? Well, verse 12 says, so, God speaking, I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. That's the end. That's the end of the path of a fool. Given up to their own heart's lust, to walk in their own counsels, in the way that seems right unto a man, but the end of the ways of death. Isaiah 5:21, just right after Isaiah 5:20, which speaks about the woes to those who call good evil and evil good, who put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. The very next verse says, another woe. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's a definition of a fool. Woe unto the fool. Proverbs 1 verse 32 says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. Shall slay them. That's an end. And the prosperity or the complacency of fools shall destroy them. Shall slay them. Shall destroy them. Proverbs 3 verse 35 says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion or the legacy of fools. Shame is the end of the path of the fool. Proverbs 10 verse 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Proverbs 11 29 says, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Think about the end of the path of a fool. Death, heaviness, sorrow, being filled with his own ways, given up to their own heart's lust. There is a woe pronounced on them. They will be slain, destroyed, shame shall come upon them. They will fall, and they'll be servant to the wise. It's not a very promising outlook for a fool, is it? Well, let's think now of the wise man. Let's first of all define him. Who is a wise man? Well, a wise man is simply one who makes the best decisions in life. The best decisions in life. Webster says, a wise man is one having knowledge, hence having the power of discerning and judging correctly, or of discriminating between what is true and what is false, between what is fit and proper and what is improper. Wisdom is much more than just the possession of knowledge or intelligence. It is living life skillfully. Skillfully. A wise person makes the right choices. A wise person says the right words. A wise person spends time and resources on the things that matter most. He understands that good is the enemy of the best. A wise person has the right perspective on life. He has, if you like, the bird's eye view of the maze, because he sees life as God sees it. It's the wise man. We had a student, some students just recently went to Hawaii. They went through the largest maze in the world, I understand it is. I mean, if you could just come up above the maze, it's pretty easy, isn't it? You can see exactly where you need to go. That's God's perspective on life. Well, let's think about the disposition of a wise man. The wise man enjoys true success, true happiness. He has true fellowship with God. He has the blessing of God's approval. Let's look at some scriptures, and we will repeat some of them because some of them were simply contrasting the fool with the wise man. So let's concentrate now on what characterizes the wise man. Proverbs 12:15 says, "He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Proverbs 14:3 says, "The lips of the wise shall preserve them." Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil." Proverbs 15:20 says, "A wise son makes a glad father." Proverbs 10:14 says, "Wise men lay up knowledge." Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright." Proverbs 29:11, we read, "A fool utters all his mind, but the wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." Proverbs 10:23, "A man of understanding hath wisdom." So this is what a wise man looks like. Well, where is a wise man headed? What's his destination? Well, Proverbs 3:5 and 6, many of us may have this as our life verse. Verses we know well. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." There's the three conditions. "Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him." And what will God do as a promise? "He shall direct thy paths." And this is what characterizes the wise man. God is directing his paths and he is following in the path that God is directing him. What kind of path is it? Well, Proverbs, I love Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, a prudent man looketh well to his going. A prudent man thinks about the end of the path that he's on. Where is this path going to lead me? Well, in the wonderful thing to trust in a God who is seeking to bring us to an expected end. And that word translated "end" there can also be translated "reward." We will have our paths directed towards an expected end. The fulfillment, this end, this is the fulfillment of all that God so intended when he created us, called us and equipped us. What else could we want in life than to simply to be all that God designed us and created us to be and to do? And because he is seeking to bring us to this expected end that he so designed us for, he's also promised rewards for all those who will live according to his plan and his will. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, if you will. And we see in these verses here a lot about wisdom, a lot about what wisdom will do, where wisdom will lead thee. As we read through, see if you can count up how many. I've counted 12. See if you get a similar kind of number. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Thinking about what wisdom will do and where wisdom will lead us. "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. There's a lot in there, isn't there? Of all that wisdom will give. Life, preservation, keep thee, promote thee, bring thee to honour. An ornament of grace, a crown of glory. Years of life to be added. Leading us in the right paths, steps not straightened, we will not stumble. She is thy life. See, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. This has been our scripture passage in school, and actually on the little whiteboard in the side room here, we bring out in the mornings at the moment, and we are working through the definition of a wise man and what a wise man, what wisdom is worth, and then what wisdom will bring. So verses 7 and 8, Proverbs 3 says, Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And you think about the navel is seen as the sustenance of life. That's how we drew all our nutrition in the womb. Verse 13 goes on to say, Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. We had quite a list as we worked through these verses in our school devotions, and the students will be reciting Proverbs chapter 3 next Sunday. Think about what God's intention is for our destination. What has God so designed for us to have? I love John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's God's intention. And a wise man will walk in the path that God has for us and enjoy the life that he has promised us. Well, lastly, let's think about how to become foolproof. Foolproof. We're warned in Corinthians, let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, any one of us can become a fool. Think about the example of Solomon, declared to be the wisest man in all the world, and yet he became a fool because he didn't heed the wisdom that he actually penned. So if Solomon, the wisest man on earth, can become a fool, we need to be very careful that we do not walk in such a foolish path as well. Well, how to become foolproof? I think the simple answer is just simply follow the map. Follow the map. Follow the guide that God has given to us. Follow the revelation of truth. You know, we've read a number of proverb verses this morning, and you know, we've just scratched the surface of the gold mine of Proverbs. It's a compendium of wisdom, this collection of such carefully worded sayings intended to instruct the young, remind the forgetful. Don't you find yourself there more and more as the days go on? Lest you should let them slip. Yes, Lord. I learnt this lesson last year. Now I'm learning it again. To remind the forgetful. To warn the naive in the ways of life. The fool. It is a wonderful roadmap for life. See, good... I like that saying, you sow a thought and you'll reap an action. You sow an action and you'll reap a habit. You sow a habit and you'll reap a character. And you sow a character and you'll reap a destiny. Decisions determine destiny. But good character grows out of thousands of minute-by-minute choices that are made with wisdom over folly. If we will continually make wise choices, we'll end up on a path that leads to good character and that destination we were speaking of, the destination of a wise man. But the contrast is true too, isn't it? That corrupt character grows out of thousands of minute-by-minute choices where I choose my own way over God's way. The way that feels good, seems right unto me. Proverbs 23 verse 4 says simply, labour not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. You want to be foolproof? Cease from your own wisdom. How does James describe our wisdom? It's not very pretty, is it? Earthly, sensual, devilish. That's our wisdom. That's our own way. Stop walking on the path that seems right to you. Romans 12:16 says, be not wise in your own conceits. Humble yourself and see yourself as you really are and ask God to help you see yourself, myself, as I really am. And Proverbs 9:10, that verse that has been up on that wall in our high school building since about 1980, I think it got put up there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. To fear the Lord, that will make you foolproof. Two paths, two destinies. A wise person will follow God's instructions, but the fool will disregard them and follow his own desires. And we sing that simple song, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Matthew 7, the one who hears the sayings and does them is the wise man. The winds came, floods came, the house stood firm. But those who hear the sayings and doeth them not. How did Jesus Christ describe that man? He's a fool. He's a fool. And when the floods came and the rains came and the winds came, the house fell. He heard the words of truth, but he believed that his way was right. Not because he didn't know the truth, but he believed the lie. He believed that his way was better. The end of it? The house fell and great was the fall of it, the Lord says. No one ever sets out to be a fool. No one ever says, I'm determined to build a house on the sand because I know that when the winds come and the waves come and the rain comes, it will fall over. So I will build my house on the sand. No one says that. And we've had young people who've come through the school ministry over the years who are now living the life of a fool. But when they were here at school, they didn't say, I'm determined, by the time I'm 25, I'm going to destroy my life. I'm determined to walk the path of a fool. They just followed a path that seemed right under them, one that felt good. We spoke this morning about why so many young people are disobeying, because mum and dad aren't obeying. Why are so many young people choosing the path of a fool? Because so many parents are fools. The first step to foolproofing our own children is for us to see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How can we raise wise children if we live as fools, if we will not regard reproof, if we walk in a way that seems right unto us? How can we expect our children to train them up in the way that they should go, the path that they should choose, if we are not walking in that path of obedience and surrender, that path of wisdom? See, God never designed our path in such a way, nor intended that the blessed life should just be an elusive dream that will come in on the next boat or will be just over the hill. You know, just once I retire, you know, life will be wonderful. Just got to get to retirement. That's not how God designed life. He didn't cover up the blessed life and say, you know, if you can find it, that'd be great, but I've hidden it well. He's made it very clear how we can live the blessed life every day. Let me just read to you a snippet of some verses that speak of the blessed life that God so intends for every believer. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates there day and night. Psalm 32:2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 84:5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Psalm 84:12, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 94:12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Remember, a fool doesn't want to hear. A fool hates reproof. But a blessed man will be taught, will be chastened. Psalm 112:1, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, talking of wisdom, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Isaiah 56:2, blessed is the man that doeth this, the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trials. Blessed, happy is the man. This is the path of wisdom. This is the narrow way. This is the path of blessedness that God intends for all of us. Well, let's finish up here. The wise will find abundance. The foolish will find emptiness. Now, the emptiness may include a huge bank balance, but it will be emptiness. Sin is just that conscious choice to depart from God's path and go our own way, and it may and often is enticing. It may seem right unto a man, but it leads to destruction. Everybody chooses a path that they believe is best for them. Everyone makes that choice to choose a path that they believe is best for them. The question is, we talk about there's only two paths and only two destinies. The question is, what is your belief based upon? What is the foundation of your belief when you set out on that path that you believe is best? The foolish man, you know, it's a big job to build a house, isn't it? For those who watch the plumbing, you know, the foundation gets dug and the plumbing goes in, the slab gets poured, the frame, and there's a lot of work in building a house. The foolish man did not believe his house was going to come crashing down. And that's one of the most dangerous aspects of a fool, is he does not believe that he is a fool. He's justified his own way in his own mind according to his own deceitful heart and walks all the way down the path to destruction. So as we make our decisions every day, are we choosing a path that seems right or the path that is right according to the Word of God as revealed by the Spirit of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ declared that he is the way. He is the door. And we acknowledge this morning that there is not salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven whereby given among men whereby we must be saved. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We don't have to guess about the good way, the best way, the wise way. For you have revealed it to us in your word, and you've promised to guide us in the way that is right. And Lord, help us not to choose the path of a fool, not to choose the path that seems right, not to reject reproof and despise correction. But Lord, may we be wise people, Lord, for we are greatly assured of the wonderful destination, the end of the path, of the wise man, the blessedness, the reward, the success, the prosperity, the peace. What else could we possibly ask for than all that is promised to the wise man? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.